ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
तपःशौचं
दया सत्यम् इति पादाकृते कृताः अधर्मां शैष्ट्रयो
भग्ना
स्मयसङ्गमदैस्तव तपःशौचं दया सत्यम् इति पादाकृते कृताः अधर्मं शैष्ट्रयो
भग्ना
स्मयसङ्गमदैस्तव तपः austerity, shaucham, cleanliness, daya,
mercy,
satyam, truthfulness, iti, thus, padaha,
legs,
krite, in the age of satya,
kritaha,
established.
Adharma,
irreligiosity,
Angshai,
by the parts,
Traya,
three combined,
Vagnaha,
broken,
Smaya,
pride,
Sangha,
too much association with women.
Madai,
intoxication. Tava,
your.
Translation for the verse is, in the age of satya, or truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. And very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. The deluding energy or material nature can act upon the living beings proportionately in terms of the living beings falling prey to the deluding attraction of Maya. Moths are captivated by the glaring brightness of light and thus they become prey to the fire. Similarly, the deluding energy is always captivating the conditioned souls to become prey to the fire of delusion. And the Vedic scriptures warn the conditioned souls not to become prey to delusion, but to get rid of it. The Vedas warn us to go not to the darkness of ignorance, but to the progressive path of light. The Lord himself also warns that the deluding power of material energy is too powerful to overcome. But one who completely surrenders unto the Lord can easily do so. But, there's always a but to surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord is also not very easy. Such surrender is possible by persons of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. These four principles of advanced civilization were remarkable features in the age of Satya. In that age, every human being was practically a qualified brahmana of the highest order, and in the social orders of life, they were all paramahamsas, or the topmost in the renounced order. By cultural standing, the human beings were not at all subjected to the deluding energy. Such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya, but gradually, as the basic principles of Brahminical culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, became curtailed by proportionate development of pride, attachment for women, and intoxication, the path of salvation, or the path of transcendental bliss, retreated far, far away from human society. Paragraph. With the progression of the age of Kali, people are becoming very proud and attached to women and intoxication. By the influence of the age of Kali, even a pauper is proud of his penny. The women are always dressed in an overly attractive fashion to victimize the minds of men. And the man is addicted to drinking wine, smoking, drinking tea, and chewing tobacco, etc. All these habits, or so-called advancement of civilization, are the root causes of all irreligiosities, and therefore it is not possible to check corruption, bribery, and nepotism. Man cannot check all these evils simply by statutory acts and police vigilance, but he can cure the disease of the mind by the proper medicine, namely advocating the principles of Brahminical culture, or the principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. Modern civilization and economic development are creating a new situation of poverty and scarcity, with the result of blackmailing the consumers' commodities. If the leaders and the rich men of the society spend 50% of their accumulated wealth mercifully for the misled mass of people and educate them in God consciousness, the knowledge of Bhagavatam, certainly the age of Kali, will be defeated in its attempt to entrap the conditioned souls. We must always remember that false pride, or too high an estimation of one's own values of life, or undue attachment to women, or association with them, and intoxication, will divert human civilization from the path of peace, however much people clamor for peace in the world. The preaching of the Bhagavatam principles will automatically render all men austere, both clean both inside and outside, merciful to the suffering, and truthful in daily behavior. That is the way of correcting the flaws of human society, which are very prominently exhibited at the present moment. And more of the same theme coming up. So, very nice blend of from the previous discussion, pursuing understanding the absolute truth, because you know the question of what's the cause of suffering. Was in this particular case, the personality of Kali breaking the legs of the bull. So it's very clear what the cause is. He did it. But then there's further understandings of the cause of that and the cause of that. So to fix one's mind on the absolute truth, in the age of Kali, becomes very difficult. And that's not what's being discussed here. Even for the personality of religion, it's difficult due to the influence of Kali. And so an antidote is being recommended. The antidote, in a phrase, is Brahminical culture. And Brahminical culture means observing these principles of purity. Our the four regular principles that we follow are connected, each one, to one of these four principles: austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. So promoting Brahminical culture, this is what Prabhupada has done, precisely following the teachings of the Bhagavatam. That is, promoting Brahminical culture by the four regular principles, and in that atmosphere chanting the holy name, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, engaging in service to the devotees of the Lord, visiting or residing in sacred places of pilgrimage. These very, very potent spiritual activities within the frame of Brahminical culture. So Brahminical culture doesn't, in one sense, it implies literally those that have the occupation of a brahmana, and Brahminical culture in that sense, in the traditional Vedic sense, means the brahmana is the head of society, and the kshatriya, the administrators, place themselves under the guidance and direction and the authority of the brahmanas. And the kshatriyas rule over the other classes of society, but under the authority of the brahmanas. And so that way the Brahminical culture trickles down to all the members of society, because those that are powerful administrators, they subordinate themselves to the wise brahmanas. And then the rest of society is engaged similarly with that vision and wisdom. That varnashram structure in our modern context is important, but the higher principle, even above that principle, is that all members of society, regardless of their occupation, regardless of their varna, they are to be encouraged to take shelter of the personality of Godhead and hear his transcendental message. And by hearing the transcendental message, that helps one to come to the position of Brahminical status or Brahminical character and quality. So very good. In the Bhagavat Dharma, it's a blend. The Bhagavat Dharma message is hearing and chanting. And the hearing and chanting message is follow Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture says engage in hearing and chanting. From the qualified source. And both side by side enrich the capacity to come to really the objective of surrender to the personality of Godhead. That's what's discussed here. So reconstruct from the previous verse, in this age of Kali, Maharaj Pariksit is remarking how powerful is the deluding potency. Even the personality of religion is bewildered. How powerful is the deluding potency in this age of Kali? Therefore, this deluding potency needs to be checked. But it's difficult to check that deluding potency unless you take shelter of the Personality of Godhead. And if you take shelter of the Personality of Godhead, then there's no touch, there's no approach of the deluding potency. Rather, it's the other way around. The deluding potency is under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Take shelter of the Supreme Lord. You're freed from the influence of the deluding potency. Then, but it's not easy to take full shelter of the Personality of Godhead. It becomes facilitated by those who follow these principles. And therefore, the culture of these principles becomes very important in Bhagavad Dharma, or the process of hearing and chanting. So one more time, the cult side by side, the cultivation of these principles, austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, and mercy. These are not like sectarian ideas. Any religious teaching will present the merit of these items and the culture of a God-centered life, austerity, cleanliness, mercy. And one could search through the scriptures of the world and find abundant references why these are important. These are characteristic of a person who is leading a life in goodness, and that's Brahminical culture. Framed within that Brahminical culture, these qualities, hearing and chanting, of directly the messages of the Personality of Godhead, His name, His form, His qualities, His pastimes. And transcendental consciousness then becomes awakened. And when transcendental consciousness becomes fully awakened, then the contaminations of the age of Kali cannot act. And that's what we want. We want that for ourselves individually and society collectively. And so there's a very substantial portion of this chapter 17 addressing this idea of these the Brahminical culture. Again, Brahminical culture isn't just for those who do the rituals, the priests and the pujaris and the ritual performers. It's for all classes of society to live by these principles. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, regardless of one's inclination for work and occupation and career, these four principles are to be followed. They're the they represent Brahminical culture, the influence of qualities of goodness within society that then makes the hearing and chanting process more effective. Interesting sentence. I'll read it again, how Prabhupada described this. The deluding energy is always captivating the conditioned souls to become prey to the fire of delusion. Oh, this is, here's the first sentence. The deluding energy or material nature can act upon the living beings proportionately in terms of the living beings falling prey to the deluding attraction of Maya. So sufficient education has to be given about the difference between gold and fool's gold, the difference between reality and illusion, the difference between an object and the reflection of that object, and that this material, whole material realm is but a reflection. During the Gita camp in Chicago, the kids, their focus was on chapter 15 this summer. I just saw the T-shirt, you know, reality and illusion, the banyan tree. You know, that's something nice to learn when you're a kid. You know, there's reality and there's illusion. And the being attracted by the call of illusion, Prabhupada described this once in a lecture in New York. Maya's business is like a prostitute calling a man, come and enjoy me, come and enjoy me, come and enjoy me, so I can kick you in your face. Very. And those that are attracted by the glare of Maya, proportionately to that attraction, the deluding potency can act. Conversely, knowledge is a beginning point. Hey, that's not gold, that's glitter gold. Hey, that's not happiness, that's, you're being cheated. It's not real happiness. Yeah, but I want to check it out. So, curiosity. You know, all the other kids are doing it. What's this one like? What's that one like? And the society, Prabhupada's very pointed description of modern society in the name of advancement is simply very gross features of this glitter, gold. The pauper is proud of his penny. Women are always dressed in overly attractive fashion to victimize the minds of men. And man is addicted to drinking wine, smoking, drinking tea, chewing tobacco, etc. These habits are the root causes of irreligiosities. Now, he doesn't say, as some language says, their sins, but it's principle. It's the attraction for the deluding energy. The whole idea of marketing and advertising, it's just grab hold of that sense and grab hold of that sense and yank. And people are very, very expert at that program. So things that Prabhupada would marvel at, things that people don't need at all, they feel they can't live without. In fact, it's harmful for their existence and they can't live without it, through marketing and advertising and capturing the living entity with the glare of the deluding potency. And once deluded, there's no hope for understanding the absolute truth, and for that matter go down some notches, and it's not realistic that they'll be free from crime, free from gambling, free from corruption. So they're very, very busy with their marketing advertising program, and they're very, very busy managing the problems that come from the deluding potency, the godless civilization. I've been asked in the past couple of days that I'm going to be visiting in Dallas in a couple of weeks, and at SMU there's a director of something like this isn't the right language, but it's something like ethics, you know, a division of their humanities department, ethics and social awareness or something like that. So I'm being asked to speak something about leadership in the modern age, and, you know, people that are trying to get on top to be there's so many people running for offices for this and that, presidential elections, got a whole bunch of people, and so many people trying to get to the top of some corporate thing. You know, what is real leadership? And I know one of the things I'm going to speak about is real leadership is teaching brahminical culture. you know, from the Vedic perspective, real leadership has these two components. Let's see how the audience likes it, but because what do you have otherwise? It's misleading. It's not what real leadership is. Leadership that's vox populi, Prabhupada didn't like very much at all, because it just panders to the lowest common denominator, the bottom of the pyramid. You say that, so you get the vote. But real leadership is elevating the character of society, and these principles of religion are essential. So, leave it a little bit more. If leaders and the rich men of society spend 50% of their accumulated wealth mercifully for the misled mass of people, I wonder how the people at SMU would like this paragraph. And educate them in God consciousness, the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. Certainly the age of Kali will be defeated in its attempt to entrap the conditioned soul. We must always remember that false pride, or too high an estimation of one's own values of life, undue attachment to women or association with them, and intoxication will divert human civilization from the path of peace, however much the people clamor for peace in the world. The preaching of the Bhagavatam principles will automatically render all men austere, clean both inside and outside, merciful to the suffering, and truthful in daily behavior. That is the way of correcting the flaws of human society, which are very prominently exhibited at the present moment. So, like the lecture that, or not lecture, but the article that appeared in Back to Godhead Crime, Why and What to Do. There was a period in America where big headlines and Time, Newsweek, and all those magazines, uncontrolled crime problem, and governments were really focused on taking care of the crime problem. But like Prabhupada said, that statutes and police enforcement didn't stop the crime problem. So when Prabhupada was addressed by a police lieutenant in the Chicago Police Force, Crime City, USA, Prabhupada's simple formula was Krishna Prasadam and chanting the holy name. Of course, that's a formula for so many things. Prabhupada said, if you want your factory to be successful, bring all your factory members together early in the morning, have big kirtan for an hour, feed prasadam sumptuously, and then let them work. And they'll be very happy, and but you won't do it, because that's an hour of work that they won't have done. And so, instead of that spiritual principle at the front end of the day, then you're so busy managing all their problems, and their health problems, and their emotional problems, and their domestic problems, and the crime problems, and managing the problems. They can't come to work because they have broken families and so on. And they're stealing your merchandise and cheating with your bookkeeping and stealing money and problems because these principles of truthfulness, austerity, cleanliness, and mercy are missing. Nice topic. I'll let you know what they say at SMU. I may not just read, you know, the paragraph from the Bhagavatam, but presented in language that, you know, they can swallow. Any comments? Discussion? Yes, Panchatattva.
Question Maharaj was brought up a week or two ago by Chakra. This question, and the devotees who were responding to a little roundtable discussion at breakfast gave various answers, but Chakra's question was this: what, is it an arbitrary thing, or is there a reason that of these four principles, cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity, mercy, the one last remaining one, and it probably is truthfulness, and that itself is diminished, but the other ones are practically come to nail. Why is it that truthfulness is the last light of religion?
Why? I have some very clear thoughts on it's true that somebody can be a really fallen person, but at least be honest about it. Like Bill Clinton, the people were angry with him not because he did some bad thing. He lied about it. They were angry with him because he wasn't truthful. And so forth. I don't know if something that Prabhupada has directly spoken about it, but what makes sense, and so this is reason, it's not descending knowledge, but a principle of self-honesty then in turn honesty to others is a principle that allows descending mercy to enter. If that's absent, then descending mercy can't enter at all. So that's the last, there's a rope that's fraying, and the last strands that allow it to be a little bit secure is that openness to descending mercy. Shut that down and is, because one may be sensually weak or something or something, but if still that person can receive mercy, if they're just in denial, self-denial and denial to others of that reality of that situation. Yes.
So following up on that, so Prabhupada said this movement will go on for 10,000 years. Logically, said that. And then, does that mean after 10,000 years, truthfulness is not going to as well?
The indication that Prabhupada gave is that after that, it's like a free fall. During the period where the chanting of the holy name has special dispensation, those that take shelter of that special dispensation will remain protected while, around to the left and to the right and front and back, things are deteriorating. Except, elevation is being observed where people take shelter of these principles and especially the chanting of the holy name. But interest in the holy name will suddenly drop, and that means the spiritual benefit that's going to others as well as those that are performing will end, and it's a free fall. So this is upholding to some degree. That's the indication. So you're making a comment, yeah. A big factor in helping us to get a taste is the association of those that have a taste and be able to share in the company of those that have a higher taste, because it's hard for that to grow in one's life without association. It can, but it's rare, much more rare and more challenging. We're social beings, and you know, we're influenced by the atmosphere around us. So sadhu sangha sarva shastri koi labha matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. Anything else? Yes.
I'm coming as a novice, and yet the principles that you were speaking of, and when you speak with your SMU people, an example of exactly what you recommended, which was to start the factory of the day with an hour of service and kirtan and feast. I participated in part of my work is with alcoholic at-risk youth, and in our moments together every morning, I wanted to share that we would take that hour and we would reach for the higher power, and we would share our food and. We did that, and then we stopped doing that because of exactly the same thing, the time. And literally 1 month later, the place closed because the insurance companies and so forth and so on swept us away. But in my mind, it was that we did not honor and take that. So I just thought it might be an amazing experience to share.
Yeah, the topic is leadership. So the SMU it's being proposed that I address. So leadership implies, you know, from some place to some place, point A to point B. How to get from point A to point B. A lot of the sense of leadership depends on what you identify, you know, where you want to go. Because, you know, there are people that are leading individuals, you know, from the other way around, or leading people off a cliff or something. So I think I have to establish where we want, leading to where. What was the goal? And in our Sanskrit terminology, it's sadhya. You identify, Prabhupada taught this, you identify the goal, and then it becomes clearly identify the goal, then it becomes easy to make steps to get there. If you don't have a clearly identified goal, what are you going to lead people to? And so there's a lot of frustration about leaders that are cheating. So where are they leading them to? And you know, if you don't have a clear sense of where you're leading them to, then that's going to happen. Yeah, it's both. The example that you gave of honoring the Supreme, and so that mercy, if that's neglected, it's withdrawn. But at the same time, then you know, connecting the other way around, also connecting the consciousness of the individuals to the Supreme. If they don't have that sense of direction, then what's going to happen in their life? It just be, you know, take the burden that's over on this shoulder and put it over on that shoulder. You haven't, you know, the big burden is still there. The big bundle of rocks is still there. Okay, anything else? Granthuraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.